Welcome to The Roofer Show with your host, Dave Sullivan. You found the podcast that helps roofing contractors grow their businesses, make more money, and have more free time. Each week, Dave interviews the industry's top experts who will give you actionable tips and strategies for the real world of construction to help you take your roofing business to the next level. So let's get down to business.
Hey everybody, what's up? Welcome to The Roofer Show, the place to be if you want to grow a more profitable roofing business. I'm your host, Dave Sullivan, and I've been a successful roofing contractor for over 30 years, and I'm here to share with you what I've learned. Get more tips, strategies, and free downloads, including my one-page business plan template. Go to theroofershow.com. Got a great show for you today, but of course it's a great show. I'm not going to waste your time with a bunch of garbage. And the title of this show is How to Get More Qualified Leads for Your Roofing Business. And this is the number one request that I get for topics of the show. It's always more leads and not those crappy leads. They want good leads. The leads that you get, you ring the doorbell and they say, where do I sign kind of leads. That's what everybody wants. And we're going to do that with Mark Levesque of Web Runner Media. And we are going to talk everything about pay-per-click or PPC. Now, don't turn this off. I know a lot of you always complain that PPC doesn't work. Cost too much, but I'll tell you, if you invest this time with us, it is going to be worth your while. I guarantee it. You get your money back, even though it's a free show. It's just give, give, give. And this is going to give you everything you need to know, not just about PPC, but we're going to talk about all marketing and why so many marketing programs don't work. And I'm going to do that by replaying a mini course that Mark and I did, and we broke it up into four smaller segments and we put them out over a period of weeks. But we got some great feedback on those shows. And recently I've had a lot of contractors that have asked me questions about PPC. We've been having some conversations about this. So what I did, I just put them all together. I cut out all the BS, and it's why reinvent the wheel. I just repurposed these discussions that we had, cut it down to just really the useful information. So I think you'll get a lot out of this. But a couple of things before we get into this is that I've been getting some great feedback from our listeners, and I really appreciate it. A few ways that you can get in touch with me is one, really appreciate all the iTunes reviews that I've been getting lately. That really helps get the show out there. So thank you for that. The other thing that I'm getting is a lot of text messages. I've been requesting that you get in touch by text, and I love texting. There's some great texting programs out there that I've got coming up on a future show, but it's a great way to communicate with your prospects, with your customers. So stop right now if you can and just say hi. Text me at 510-612-1450. Just give me some feedback. Hey, like the show? I don't like the show. Whatever. It's fine. Tell me what you'd like to hear about. Just say hi. Tell me where you're from. I'm getting some great texts, some great conversations going. The other way is on my contact page. If you want to just have a quick talk, 45 minutes or even an hour, kind of do a business evaluation. It's no charge, no anything, no. Just give me a click on the button that says book an appointment. We'll get on the phone. Have a conversation, and it's been great. I think it's really helped a lot of the contractors that I've talked to. It helps me hear about what they're doing, what's going on, and I really enjoy that. And what we do is we just get on the phone, have a conversation, and I record it just like I do on the podcast. So you get your own little mini podcast. I give you the recording so you can listen to it again later. It's just like having notes that we'd be taking. And it's really helped out contractors. So check that out. Before we get going, a couple of tips real quick that Mark and I talk about on the show is something that I see a lot and why these campaigns, why pay-per-click doesn't work for a lot of contractors is one, you need to have clarity on who your ideal prospect is. What is it that you do? Say if you're doing commercial or you're doing residential, it's attracting a different crowd. You want to focus this down. And this is something that pay-per-click does a great job. You need to know what it is that you're trying to attract and where are you going to send them? Because it's one thing to get a click, but it's another thing to pull them back to your website on your homepage. That doesn't do anything for you, and why you need to have a sales page set up. So if you're trying to attract people that are looking to re-roof their home with metal, you send them to a specific page that talks about metal. Here's the problems that we solve. This is all about metal roofs. So that's what you're trying to focus on. And too many contractors don't do that. And the other thing is, what's the action you want them to take? Now that you got them on your website, one problem is that you got to realize that most of these people, one, they're not going to click, say, ask for an estimate, for instance. They're going to come to your website. They're looking for information. Most of these guys are at the educational stage. Buying a roof is a long-term process. It's not like it's one and done where they're clicking and they're buying. They're just doing research. So you got to make sure that you're able to, one, provide them the information, give them the answers to the questions that they're asking. Make sure you set yourself up as the expert in whatever type of work it is that you're doing. And how do you keep them on there and how do you get them to come back? Because most people will come to your website and you'll never see them again. So you're wasting that money. And rarely are they going to fill out that long form that's going to request an estimate. So have something else on your website that you're going to give away that's valuable, something that they would be interested in. For instance, you know, the 10 things you have to know about buying a metal roof. Okay, give me your email address and send this to them. And that way you've got their email address. You can send out drips to them once in a while that gives them information. You're not trying to sell anything. You're just trying to educate them, but you're able to keep in touch with these people that have come to your website because that's what the problem is. So like what I do when people come to my website, I offer a free one-page business template that I think is great, gives free information. I'm not selling anything, but it's something that helps contractors, and that's what you want to do. Another way is retargeting. You've seen those ads that tend to follow you around. That's a great way to do it. We talk about that on the show. But it's all about keeping your name in front of those prospects that are going through the buying process that's going to take a while. So you want to stay in front. And another way to get those prospects that visit your website to have conversation, to request more information, stay on your site longer, is with live chat. So as I segue smoothly into my sponsor, Ruby Receptionists, this is something that they do a great job of, and this really works. You're seeing more and more of those live chat boxes with a lot of the websites of your larger companies, your larger roofing companies, because they convert. They really work. And people like live chat. I used to be a little down on it a while back, but that's how I want to communicate now. I go to a website. I don't want to talk to anybody. I have some questions that I'm looking for, and you can get that with live chat. So check this out at callruby.com/roofershow, and you can see how it works because it does work. So check that out and see if it's right for you. And if it is, check out that page at callruby.com/roofershow, and I got a promo there that'll save you a little money. All right. Well, I said I was going to cut out all the BS out of this, so oops, sorry about that. So let's just jump into what we've got is a little mini course, everything you wanted to know about PPC, pay-per-click, a great conversation. It'll answer all your questions. So let's jump into this thing with Mark Levesque of WebRunner Media. Mark, let's just jump into this and tell us what our contractors are going to learn from this course and what's in it for them.
Yeah, absolutely, Dave. Pleasure being here. Appreciate the invite. And yeah, of course. I mean, in terms of what we're going to be learning over the next couple of weeks, it's going to be, you know, a little high level, but we will dig into where we feel it's obviously most important. I think, you know, for most listeners that are, you know, on this right now, they'll fall into either one of three categories. It's either they've done this themselves but didn't get the results. They hired someone to do it for them, but that didn't work out. Or this is all just foreign to them. So hopefully we're able to help you regardless of which category you're in. First, we're going to make sense of PPC, what it is, how to avoid common pitfalls, because there's really a couple core areas where people usually go wrong. How to capitalize on PPC leads once you've got them. And then, of course, just comparing different lead sources, because a lead you generate on your own versus a lead you purchase is not the same. And then beyond leads, a couple other little tidbits there. So that's what we've got lined up.
Well, that's great, because this is quick information on the quick tips episodes that we do for the Roofer Show. I like to make these just kind of keep them within 15 minutes and a quick listen. So let's just jump into this on the first. So our first session, we're going to talk about really just kind of making sense of PPC and some of the problems that we have. But let's start off with the basics. I mean, the ABCs of PPC, and this is maybe for those that may not have a lot of experience or a lot of understanding, but let's get into the basics of this. What are the ABCs of PPC?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, there are a lot of ABCs, Dave. I think what we're going to cover is really just, you know, fundamentals. I think first and foremost, the idea it would be to understand, you know, how a search engine works. And really, for those that aren't really familiar with this, a search engine's job, Google's sole purpose is to generate meaningful results. And how does it do that? Well, it does that with tons and tons and tons of data. So literally, it indexes content, and then it returns results based on what it thinks are going to be the most valuable based on, you know, tons of different factors. I don't know if you've ever performed a Google search and absolutely not found any content relevant or interesting. It likely doesn't happen, right? And we don't have to go to page 3 and 4 and 5 and 6 to get results. It's usually right there on the first page. So it's about, you know, putting paying Google in order for them to serve our ads on that first page of Google. And that's really what pay-per-click is. We are paying for clicks. So Google allows us to identify keywords that we feel our consumers, the homeowners who need our services, are using to find companies like us. And they're saying, hey, no problem. We will show your ads if these are the keywords that you want to be showing up for. Not a problem at all, but you've got to do a good job of making sure that whatever we are showing is relevant. And what does that mean? It just means that if somebody is looking for a metal roofing contractor near me, well, you better make sure that in your ad, you've got a mention of the fact that you're a metal roofing specialist, right? And then beyond that, if somebody's clicking on that ad and they're getting to your webpage, well, don't send them to the homepage of your website that talks about the 10 million things you do. Right. Take them to the metal roofing page, right? Makes sense. Mm-hmm. It's about keeping things very clear to the point, really holding that homeowner by the hand and saying, hey, I know you're looking for this. Let me show you. This happens to be our specialty. This is what we do, right? So you're just eliminating all that fluff and that clutter. And that's really one area where people fall short, Dave.
Well, let's talk about budgets and what am I going to have to spend for this? Also, what should I expect in terms of results?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, what are you going to have to spend? What can you expect in terms of results? Those are two things that need to go hand in hand. And so you've got to understand the math. So first, you've got to start with what are your objectives? What are you trying to generate? Is it, you know, top line revenue? Is it profits? Is it number of customers, right? You've got to handle, I mean, in an ideal world, the answer is yes to all of these, but by how much, right? What does that look like? You need to be able to articulate that, right? Write it down. And then you've got to have a handle on your numbers. What is your average ticket? How much profit do you have baked into each job? How likely are you to close leads that come in? And we're not talking necessarily a warm referral lead from the neighbor down the street. We're talking somebody who just found you on the internet, called you. Your closing rate is going to be drastically different there. And then what we look at from a marketing standpoint is what it's going to cost to generate a lead. So often people get scared by the fact that they have to pay for clicks, right? And so they'll reach out to companies like us and say, hey, how much are clicks or how much are leads? And what I want to, you know, remind people here listening to this is that these are the wrong questions to be asking. And the real metric you need to be looking at is the customer acquisition cost. Because once you understand that, that allows you to determine if you can continue to spend money on marketing or not. Okay. And this is the whole reason why you'd want to leverage pay-per-click to begin with. It's like a light switch, or better yet, it's like a faucet. You can turn it on and you can immediately start getting traffic. You can turn it off and then your traffic will stop. Okay. So you've got a huge amount of control over it, and you can scale it up. You can scale it back based on results. So as your results improve over time, you want to start spending more money towards it. Fantastic. Okay. The idea is that it's very black and white, no guesswork. And, you know, one thing that I'll just touch on quickly, Dave, because I know we're kind of limited on time. The comparison for those of you that are wondering, hey, how does SEO differ from PPC? SEO is the notion of playing the long game. It's the notion of optimizing your website and or content so that you can get those web pages indexed or showing up on Google so that over time you earn more traffic. Now, there is a cost associated to that. And that can either be in time because somebody's producing that content, publishing that content, optimizing that website, or you know, maybe you're doing it yourself. But really, there is a cost to that as well, right? So we can have another session, Dave, on SEO if there's an interest. But for now, we're talking about pay-per-click. And right now, we're focusing really just on Google. Google is an intent-driven platform. So we target people based on their intent, based on what they're looking for. And that in itself is just a huge benefit, right? Because we know what terms people might be looking for. We can do the research and then we can show ads to people. And then people click on those ads. They come to our pages. Our job is to do a good job of showing them that they should be working with us, right? We've got to help them justify, not make the sale, people. We're not trying to get our web pages or our websites to make the sale. We're trying to get them to deliver enough information such that somebody feels confident that they're making the right choice by reaching out to have a conversation with us. So that's super important.
Right. Okay? Very important. It's one step at a time. You're not going in there and just trying to ram a sale down their throat. You're taking them to the next step and the next step and the next step and whatever those are that you decide. That's what we're trying to do with these clicks, right?
Yeah, exactly. And so, excuse me, just getting back to the numbers here. Once you've got a good handle on your numbers, now it comes down to having a better understanding of what the clicks may cost in your market. This is something that a marketing company, or if you educate yourself on how to go and figure that out, it's not that complicated. You can do the math to see if it's going to make financial sense for you. Now, in the roofing space, the average ticket prices are fairly high. The margins are usually pretty high as well. We're used to seeing anywhere from 35 to 50, sometimes more, in terms of gross profit. So these are numbers that are conducive to, you know, making pay-per-click work. Pay-per-click can work if you're seeing, you know, average ticket prices that are up there with good margins. Reason why is because every time you pay for a click, okay, whether that click is $10, $15, or $20, you will get a visitor. And that's likely a pretty hot visitor, somebody who's searching for your services. They're coming to your website or landing page. And I say landing page a lot because we use landing pages and you should be using landing pages. And a landing page, for those that aren't familiar, side note, all we're doing is we're stripping away all the fluff and anything that's not relevant to what the consumer just searched for. So again, we'll use our metal roofing example. We're not talking about commercial, you know, TPO roofing, asphalt shingle roofing. It's a metal roof. They search for metal roof. You take them to your metal roofing page, whether that be one on your website or just a dedicated landing page. And what we want to have on that page is, hey, we are experts in metal roofing. We've been doing metal roofing for X amount of time. Here are our credentials. Here's what people are saying about us. And here's the reason why we're better and why we're different. Okay. And that's an area where people are really kind of struggle. So dig deep, figure that out, get that on your landing page, maybe, you know, leverage an offer. If you've got great financing plans, you want to put that on there. If you've got something that's going to get someone to commit now rather than wait a year, get that on there. So that's why we employ the use of landing pages. We can also test different things over time to get better results. But basically, once someone lands on that page, there's a good percentage of the people that will do nothing. Right? They will leave. So what happens, that money to a degree is lost, right? You've spent money and then it's gone, right? So what we want to do is we want to capitalize on the people that are landing on that page as much as possible. So again, the use of a landing page, very relevant information, and we try to get them to convert. So we're trying to get them to call us. We're trying to get them to fill out a form, or we're trying to get them to do a live chat, right? The younger generation, they like the immediate response. They like the live chat. They may want to pick up a phone and text you or things like that. You want to consider these things and make these options available, right? Mm-hmm. Now, assuming that a click is, we'll use round numbers, Dave, for the example, $10 a click in your market. You know, we see that landing pages or websites, if they're done properly, they can convert anywhere between 5 to 10 and sometimes even 15%. That means that, let's go with 10. Every 10th person that you get to your landing page, you should be getting a lead. Now, if that is the case, a lead may cost you $100 if the clicks are $10 in your local market. If it's very competitive, there's more people bidding on your term, maybe your keywords are $25. Well, $25, if your page still converts one of every 10 visitors, that's $250 for a lead, right? Now, if you're selling a job at $10,000 with a 50% margin, that's not too bad. You've just purchased yourself a lead at $250. Doesn't mean it's a customer. Now it comes down to identifying how many of these leads do you need before you capitalize by turning one of them into a customer. And so that's where, again, one of the areas people fall short. They ask, how much are your leads? That's right. The wrong question. What is it going to cost with your leads to go and acquire a customer? And really the only way to figure that out is to actually do it. And so whether you do it yourself or you hire a company, don't hold the company accountable based on what, you know, the lead cost is. Of course, it's factored into the equation. The lower the lead cost, the more leads you'll get for the same budget. But really what you're looking at is, how much is it costing me to acquire a new customer through this form of marketing? And that's what you can compare with your other forms of advertising or your other, you know, service providers or whatnot. That is the metric that you want to be looking at. And so if clicks are $10 and every 10 visitor you get a lead, great, you've got a $100 lead. Now what you've got to pay attention to is, how many of these leads do you need in order to get a customer? And then once you have that info, now you know, do you continue to spend money or do you stop spending money? And it's really that simple.
Right. And this is something that I've covered about this, which is knowing your numbers. And you have to know what, you know, your closing rate, your average job size. You've got to have these down to make all this work. Otherwise, you're going to be wasting your money, don't you think?
Yeah. And I mean, it's not hard nowadays because the technology is there. So even for somebody who's, you know, a fresh startup with no technology, no systems in place, nothing, you know, when we're running ads, we're funneling all the leads into a spreadsheet that's online and everything's crystal clear as day. You've got all the lead info there. You just got to mark it as won or lost. And after a while, you'll get a good indication as to what your closing rate is. Net sales per lead issue, like all these metrics, all these numbers, you want to have a good handle on that. I think the important thing here, and this is where a lot of people, again, really miss the mark when it comes to PPC, is because they don't understand how we come up with a cost per lead or a cost to acquire a customer, the expectation is usually not in line with reality. And so what I mean by that is, somebody may be inclined to spend a couple $1,000, $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, whatever it is, but in their mind, they're expecting this to yield 150 leads a month. And that's where, if you go through the right sort of due diligence up front, you can avoid all that pain and heartache later on. So you got to understand, you know, what are the clicks going to cost in your market? That's something that you can figure out. You go to, you know, you use like a Google keyword planner online, Google it, check it out. You fire up a Google Ads account, start typing in a couple of seed keywords, and then you'll get an idea. Is the average click going to be $10, $15, $20, or $40? From there, assuming you got a well-built website or landing page, let's say we're going to go and convert at 10%. Fantastic. That'll give us our lead cost. From there, divide that into our budget. So if we're spending, let's just say $3,000 and our actual leads are costing us $100, that's 30 leads in a month. Now what you need to do is see what your closing rate is. So if your closing rate's only 10%, guess what? That's 3 new customers. Right. If it's 20, hey, you're at 6. And from there, multiplied by your revenues and your profits, and you see, if I'm closing 6 customers at $10,000 a shot, I'm making, you know, $5,000 in profit. Hey, I'm making $30,000. I've just spent 3 on marketing minus my fees. I've got a nice return. I'm going to spend more next month. Right. That's right. How people need to look at it. And just to kind of leave off, Dave, because I know we're kind of wrapping up on time here for this part. One thing that I hear often is, hey, all my business comes from word of mouth and referrals, and my marketing, I only put 2% towards marketing. I'm doing great. I do $1 million a year 80% of my business is word of mouth and referrals. So I'm only spending, you know, $20,000 on marketing to generate $1 million. So the reality here, and sometimes people don't think about that, that 2% that the contractor thinks he's spending to go and generate that 1 million. Well, if it is in fact 80% of the revenue, that's coming from repeat and referral business, it means that 20K is really only driving the remaining $200,000. And so really his marketing cost is 10%, which is really where it should be, right? But that just means they're not spending enough on marketing, right? The companies that we see that are in high growth mode, they're spending anywhere from 8 to 12%, sometimes more, right? So that's something to be careful with.
Yeah, all those contractors that sit back on their butt and say, oh, hey, I rely only on referrals. Well, that is no way to grow a business. That is changing because you've got more people going to online reviews. That pool is only so large, and you're sitting there waiting for referrals to come in. You don't have control of your business. And that's what I like about PPC and the way you talk about a faucet where you can turn it on and off. And as you say, knowing your numbers, and you've got to look at your goals and then match up your budget accordingly.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's you know, is your expectation realistic? I mean, obviously we all have to have nice lofty goals and objectives, right? But can we put a system in place that's going to help us achieve that? Or are we shooting ourselves in the foot before we even begin? And again, that's why people pull the plug early. Right. They don't put enough money into it. They don't give it a fair chance. So we just see that far too often. And so it's a matter of being real and just looking at this ahead of time and seeing, is this going to work? And once you can get it to work, there's not really a limit to how you can scale it. You know, if the demand, if there's enough, you know, searches being done in your local market, you can keep spending money. After that, it comes to the point where you may have to expand, you know, enlarge in your territory or start offering more services. But those would be good problems to have.
Agreed. Well, Mark, this is some great information. You laid it out very clearly. Even I could understand it. What are we going to talk about next week?
Yeah, Dave, next week we're going to talk about capitalizing on these PPC leads. Generating a lead is half the equation, if not less. I'd say what comes after is even more important, and a lot of mistakes are being made here. And so we'll touch on some of that.
I think that's great. Look forward to it. And Mark, how can they get more information? Let's say we want to talk to you about this, get clarification on some of the points that we covered. How do we get in touch?
Yeah, very easy. Head over to webrunnermedia.com/roofershow. Our phone number's up there. They can give us a call, or they can just go ahead, book a demo, and we can do a quick discovery call and see how we can help.
All right. Good stuff. Well, let's jump into part two of our mini course on how to get more qualified leads using PPC. Well, let's start off with, what are we doing here? Who's this class for? And most importantly, what's in it for our roofing contractors? Why should they care?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, the point you touched on, Dave, is important. This is a, you know, a no bullshit, no fluff class. If you've ever gotten a runaround from some marketing company, or you've been sold a bag of tricks, that's definitely not what this is about. Exactly. So last week, you know, we talked about making sense of PPC, how to avoid common pitfalls. And for the most part, that really comes down to just assessing whether or not PPC or pay-per-click is going to be the right fit for you. We touched on how it works, right? Google being a search engine, how you can essentially leverage their reach. You can pay them a couple dollars for them to show ads to people who are in market for your services. And then, you know, to determine whether or not it's going to be a good fit, how to run the actual numbers, the math behind it, right? So calculating cost per clicks and how many clicks you need before you get a lead. And then from there, validating whether or not your lead cost is going to allow you to generate customers profitably. So that's what we touched on last week. This week, what I'd like to touch on is the idea of capitalizing on PPC leads. So once you've got a lead, what happens next, right? Mm-hmm. That's kind of half the battle is generating the lead. The other half, well, there's a lot more to it. So
you're right about that. I can have all the leads in the world, but nothing happens until somebody sells something. And I hear a lot about that from contractors, is that all I need in my business is more leads. If I only had more leads, everything would be fine. Yeah, that is just not how it works. But Mark, I think you did a great job of covering the basics last week on how to get those leads. I think that's the easy part. So now that we've got a lead, how are we going to capitalize on that?
Interesting question. And I think the takeaway for today, I'm going to kind of skip to the end here, Dave, is, you know, like I said earlier, generating a lead is half the battle. And if you're not ready for this next part, the last thing you want to do is put money into marketing or to try and bring visibility to your business, because you're going to waste those hard-earned dollars, more specifically marketing dollars, right? The last thing we want to do is bring attention to our business if we're not well set up to receive those leads. And let's get into what we're going to cover today. You know, the idea of, you know, how to respond, speed being really important, your demeanor, the way you go about addressing these inbound requests, mastering the follow-up, and then, of course, protecting your time, because we don't want to run every lead. That would be crazy. So those are the you know, points that we've got outlined for today.
Well, that sounds good. And along those lines, I've got a little story to tell. Is we're talking about the quality and the speed of the follow-up. And I've got some work that I need done at my house. I've got a small bathroom remodel. I get a referral from a friend, set an appointment with this guy. He's going to come out, but something came up. I've got to change the appointment. So I give him a call. What happens? Rolls over into voicemail. I got to leave a message. Say, hey, got to change the appointment. Give me a call and let's pick another time. Well, I don't hear anything. I got to call him back. So rolls over into voicemail. Still nothing. So there is no way in hell I'm going to use this guy. And my next message I leave for this clown on his voicemail is going to be, your service sucks. Don't bother coming out because I'm going to hire another contractor. And I'm just like most buyers, where I don't care what it costs. I want to have a reliable contractor that's going to return my calls, that's going to take care of business. And you hear this all the time about these guys that don't show up. They don't return calls. And this was a referral, our best kind of lead. So now not only am I pissed off, but next time I see my friend, I'm going to tell her that these guys suck and you should not refer them anymore. But back to our topic. Sorry about that. But Mark, I think what you're going to talk about is, if you're going to pay money for these leads, you've got to respond quickly and with quality. And I think that's what you're going to get into, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, Dave, you know, what you just brought up is something that is great news for all the contractors listening to this.
There is.
Yeah, I mean, the competition out there, as much as it may seem fierce, you know, there are a lot of competitors. They're not necessarily all doing a great job. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, it's not that difficult for you to stand out. And one of the simplest ways to be one up on your competition is to respond in a timely fashion, right? So, right. You know, speed to lead. You want to get to those leads as quickly as you can. And so regardless of the lead source, when those leads are coming in, those are marketing dollars that you've put behind a bunch of different efforts to make that happen. And so, you know, we're always telling contractors, have a discussion with your call centers, with your sales teams, and really let them know what the value of every lead is, and more specifically, what is actually going into making that phone ring or making those inbound form submissions happen. And I think when there's a better understanding internally of, you know, the time, effort, you know, money that's being put into making this happen, people treat it a lot more seriously. So that's important.
Yeah, I agree. And you brought up a couple of good points, is that one, your average contractor, their customer service just sucks. So to differentiate yourself, all you got to do is just suck a little less. Okay. It's not a high bar. Just go look at these Yelp reviews or Google reviews on these contractors. I mean, it's amazing. And they just continually talk about poor customer service. So provide a good customer experience and you are so far ahead of the game. And second, it's so important to make sure everybody in your company understands how important it is to provide that service, to provide that quick response, to be friendly and professional when that call comes in. And with internet leads, you've got to provide quick response. You've got to get back to these prospects fast. Don't you think, Mark?
Yeah, I think so. I couldn't agree more. We've got a great kind of vantage point because we have the opportunity to see the inner workings of so many different businesses. And let me tell you, it's not all roses. And so we try to be as impactful as we can with our ability to help generate leads. And when we see an opportunity to sort of lend a hand or dish out a bit of advice in the way that businesses handle leads once they're generated, then we're totally up for that. But like you said, Dave, I mean, speed is super important. And there's no reason not to be able to capitalize on these leads when they come in now. Technology is there. So for example, when a lead comes in through a form submission on a website, right? So you got that form there, people fill that out. An email gets kicked out to you as a contractor. That email, make sure it's being received by the right people, the people internally that are going to be fielding these inbound requests, and make sure that they're responding to these leads in no time, literally within minutes, right? Another thing that is really interesting is send a communication back to the customer. So a simple autoresponder that says, hey, we've received your inquiry. Thank you for reaching out and getting in contact with us. I may be out in the field right now, but I'm going to have somebody get in contact with you shortly. And then boom, that happens. Exactly. You can take that one step further and you can have an automated text message go out. So in your form submissions, rather than ask people for just a generic phone number, any you know, phone number, ask them specifically for the mobile phone number. Mm-hmm. That way, when that form comes in, companies like ours can help you take those inbound requests and then connect to SMS platforms where you can send an automatic confirmation to the customer direct to their mobile phone, right? So that's really powerful stuff. And in there, you can take it as far as saying, hey, we've received your request, your inquiry. Here's a link to schedule a time for us to have an initial conversation, a discovery call, set an appointment, whatever you want that action to be. And that may not be a fit for everyone, but it's a strategy that we're seeing some companies employ. And let me tell you, the open rate on those text messages are extremely, extremely high. They outperform email. But at the very least, you know, send out an email and then, of course, have somebody from the office follow up by phone and connect with that lead.
Yeah. It's all about conversion. There's no point in getting these leads unless you're going to convert them into appointments. So let's talk a little more about this. And we've got, what's our outgoing demeanor? Tell us about that, how we should be responding and how we should be acting to these calls.
Sure. Well, I mean, some people are going to listen to this and they're going to say, well, Dave, Mark, duh, you know, this is common sense, but you know, it's not something that everybody does well. And the way that a phone is handled is extremely important. Far too many times we listen in on calls where a homeowner, a consumer is calling and you'll have somebody out in the field, pick up a phone. Hello. And then the homeowner will say, have I reached, you know, XYZ roofing? Right. Yeah. And it just question mark. And then there's, you know, silence and awkwardness. And then homeowner feels like they're disturbing you. And right. Then all of a sudden they start to feel bad. And okay, well, you know what? I'm going to call you back. And they're just, it's a terrible vibe, right? People can feel that. So even the idea of smiling before you pick up the phone can help make that feeling on the other end of the line that much better. So you want to pick up, you know, hi, this is XYZ Roofing. How can I help you today? Right? Whether you're the owner picking up the phone or you're part of a call center, the way the phone is handled is super, super, super important. And far too often people lack empathy, right? Somebody may say, hey, I've got a problem. You know, I've been considering changing my roof or repairing it. I just don't know. The stuff is confusing. Just relate with these people and say, oh, that's terrible. I'm sorry to hear that. I'm sure we can help you. And then get into the conversation, right? Build a relationship, build rapport.
Exactly. So, and if you get some battle axe at the front desk, that's going to be answer these calls. It's amazing. As you say, they're just like, oh, I'm sorry to put you out, but I wanted to buy a roof from you before. However, you know, it is amazing. I agree. So let's talk about this follow-up now. How do we really get on top of this? How should we be doing this to master that follow-up?
Okay. Well, you know, leads are coming in. They're coming in via form submissions or through phone calls. Sometimes it's a live chat request on a web page or on a website. You're doing a good job now of, you know, picking up the phone, responding to those inbound requests, answering those chats. Sometimes, and Dave, something that I'll touch on here is the lead may not be a great lead. And I might have touched on this in another session with you, but I want to remind people that if a lead is not an ideal fit for you, don't just hang up the phone or turn that homeowner away. try to capitalize on that. And what I mean by that is if somebody is happens to call you by mistake, they thought you were a siding company or you did gutters and you don't, you strictly specialize in roofing. Don't just hang up the phone because, hey, that's a lead that somebody else would happily pay money for. And so one of the easiest things you can do is just network with some local businesses in your area and then build relationships. And when you happen to get leads like that, because you will get people who reach out where it's not a perfect fit, maybe they want to repair, you don't do repairs, you're more interested in replacements, pass that off to somebody who can handle that. And the way to do that is simply say, hey, I'm sorry, we're not really specialized in what you're looking for, but we do work closely with another company that is a specialist in exactly what you're looking for. Let me do a formal intro. Do you mind if I have them call you? John will reach out to you as soon as he can. Sure, no problem. That would be well appreciated. Thank you. Now you've just done a good deed. Now you reach out to another company and you're building some karma, right? Mm-hmm. And who knows when John's company reaches out, if they happen to close a deal, guess what? Next time they get asked to do something that they don't cover, it's not in their wheelhouse, they may send that back to you. So that's something you've got to share with your team.
I agree. We talk about that a number of times on the show, which is having a network of referral partners. You're a roofing contractor. Well, homeowners are going to need an HVAC company. They ask for it all the time. Maybe a landscaper, plumber. All of these other trades can refer each other. And this is called a referral partner network where you may get together maybe once a month, talk about what's going on, track all these leads. But you're right. You're helping out that caller because too often it's like, oh, we don't do that. See you later. Well, in the back of my mind, I'm going to remember that company as someone who just was a little gruff with me, as opposed to somebody that helped me out, made my life easier. And that's what it's all about. So couldn't agree with you more on that. Now, let's talk about how do we protect our time? And you call it bracketing. Tell us about that.
Yeah, absolutely. Bracketing, Dave, very simply, is the idea of giving people options, right? I'm sure that very often contractors are getting calls and people want to know, hey, how much for this service? And if you fire off a price, you're not doing yourself any favors because that price may be too high. Maybe they're expecting something totally different. And people are just going to judge you based on whatever you say in that moment. And so training your sales team, your call center to better, you know, field these type of questions is super important. And bracketing is one strategy that can work well. So you may respond with, well, hey, you know, there's a lot of variables that come into play here. It's difficult for us to give you just a price like that. But for the most part, an average job may fall between, you know, X and Y, right? So, and you give a pretty broad range. It's not what people are going to want to hear, but at least you're not turning somebody away because it's out of their budget. So you give them a low end, you give them a high end, and then ultimately you throw it back to them and you start getting them to answer, you know, more questions for you. Now, not every inbound request, you know, form submission or whatnot will turn into a lead that you can actually demo, right? Some people just have questions and that's fine. What you want to be is helpful and informative and feel those questions so that if and when the time comes that they do decide that, hey, they're going to act on this and they're past that research phase, they've had a good experience with you to begin with, and they're more likely to call you back. And so, you know, mastering the follow-up, we were going to kind of get into that and we just went over it really quickly. But, you know, we try to tell contractors, think long-term here. Don't think that because the lead that just came in didn't convert into, you know, an appointment set, that it's a total dud, that it's lost, okay? You want to be building a database over time of contacts that you can continually reach out to. And again, build rapport and, you know, remind people that you're there, stay top of mind, provide educational content, that sort of thing. And the way to do that is obviously through email marketing, social media, things like that. So any lead that comes in can be a future potential customer. So just remember that. And yeah, I think that's really the art to mastering the follow-up. Of course, you've got just, you know, follow-up. If somebody reaches out to you and says, well, hey, now's not a great time. Can we speak Thursday? Well, you better make sure that you call them Thursday, right? So just be punctual, be diligent in your note-taking, completing your CRM, creating tasks for yourself so that you stay on top of things. The art really is in the follow-up. Just look at your experience, Dave. Somebody says they're going to call you and they don't call you. You just lost faith. You've just, you know, shown the customer that you're not, you know, you don't respect timelines and schedules. And most importantly, people's time, right? Your time is very valuable. So,
I agree. And be sure that you're getting their email address. This is something that if you've got website visitors, anybody that requests information, because that way you can continue to send them out, whether it's a drip campaign, you're sending out helpful information. You're not pimping these guys for a sale. You're just sending, hey, you know, you were interested in this. I just wanted to send you this article, perhaps. And another problem that I see these days when everybody's so busy is that right now, this is the season, everybody's swamped. And instead of blowing these guys off or saying, hey, you know, we're too busy, I can't help you, and you're just kind of gruff, instead, get that information and say, I'm sorry, but whether we're booked up, we're just busy at this time. However, let me get your information. Maybe down the road, if you haven't gotten the project done, we slow down in this time of year. And if you're not in an incredible hurry, maybe we can help you later. And it's surprising how many people will wait, or maybe they're not all that hot to go because they can't get another contractor. But keeping those people in touch, because business is going to slow down sometime. We don't know when, but we all know if we've been in this business long enough, these times are not going to last. And some of those leads you're going to wish you had. So keep in touch with these people. You never know, something you always want to do.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, there's nothing more frustrating from a marketing standpoint than when, you know, you've got a team that's putting time and effort into trying to drive leads for a business, and the ball's being dropped on the back end. So just remember, this is, you know, there's two big parts to this equation here. And on the front end, generating lead, as important as that is, if leads are not well managed on your end, that's going to be a problem long term. And that marketing dollar is just not being stretched as far as it could be. So,
all right. Well, that covers today's topic. What are we going to talk about next week?
Next week, we're going to be talking about comparing lead sources, you know, chasing the elusive exclusive lead. Everybody wants those exclusive leads. And really the unfair advantage that digital marketing can provide if compared to more traditional forms of advertising.
All right. Well, so far, so good. I'm really interested in getting into part three, because I get so many requests where we talk about, should I be investing in Home Advisor, Angie's List, all of these things. And I've certainly got some strong opinions on that, and I would imagine you do. Let's compare these lead sources. Tell us a little about what you think about these.
Yeah, so I've got my own opinion. I think I'm more in line with your train of thought there, Dave. I'm not a huge believer in, you know, not really having control over your ability to generate your own leads. And that's why I love, you know, paid advertising. I think it puts you in the driver's seat and gives you the ability to scale things up and scale things back, depending on what's happening, you know, different circumstances in your market. Ultimately, there is a time and place for the lead aggregators out there. And I'm not going to bash any of them and say that they don't do a great job. We know lots of successful companies that have, you know, built up and scaled in part thanks to some of these companies. And when we're talking about lead aggregators, if anyone's unfamiliar with what that is, we're talking the Home Advisors of the world, CraftJacks, Network, Thumbtacks, Angie's List. I mean, there are a whole bunch of websites that basically bridge homeowners and contractors, right? They kind of match the two together. And a lot of what we hear is that the quality of the leads, depending on the type of leads that are being purchased, is not necessarily always the best. And the second biggest concern is that people have a lot of difficulty reaching homeowners. And so depending on how that lead was generated, because there are a lot of companies that generate leads and sell them to a lot of these lead aggregators, it's not always easy to reach the homeowners. And very often the homeowners will get bombarded with calls from different contractors. And so after a while, they'll stop picking up the phone. So this is not a, hey, should you be buying leads from Home Advisor or from networks or, you know, kind of conversation. This is more a matter of, are lead aggregators a good fit for you, or should you consider the idea of doing it yourself? And obviously we're leaning towards do this yourself, right?
Well, you may not want to bash these companies, but I sure as hell will, because I think most all of these leads are a lot of crap. And even more important than that, though, if you think about this, if you're going to set up a business for the long term, you're not going to do that by going through lead aggregators, because they are taking everything of yours and using it to sell these leads to other companies, as opposed to you bringing people back to your website. You spoke about control, and that's really what it is getting buyers of home services to come back to your website where you control this. And really, I think that that's what it's all about. If you're going to be in business for the long term, get them back to your site and stop wasting money on building other companies' properties. Don't you think?
I couldn't agree more with you, Dave. And that's a great segue to, you know, the point that I want to cover today here. Everybody wants an exclusive lead. And I'm not one that can tell you whether or not that exists. I believe that consumers, and there's data to back this up and to prove that consumers are more educated than ever. Data is accessible within, you know, seconds. It's at a fingertips reach. You pull out your mobile, you can do your research, you can shop companies and compare them and pin them up one against another within no time. So even if you leverage pay-per-click advertising programs like we put in place for our customers, you know, it doesn't mean that that homeowner is not talking to other companies. So do exclusive leads really exist? Well, it depends on what your definition of an exclusive lead is, but trust that homeowners are doing their research and that they're talking to more than one contractors.
Yeah, well, all you have to do is see the commercials for these lead aggregators. The homeowners that are going to those, they really don't have the time, they're the interest to really research these companies and to be the type of buyers that really the contractors listening to this show are all about, which is we sell quality, we've got reviews, we've got a strong reputation. We want to bring those back to our website, our showroom, where we can take people through the journey and show them what the qualities that we have, and just not a low price. And so many of these are, whether they're tire kickers or whether they're just shopping for a low price and not interested in doing any of the research, because they think these lead aggregators are really investigating them. And all you got to do is look at they had an article in the paper not too long ago about what a scam so many of the companies were that they were sending out on these leads.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't agree more, Dave. The idea of getting a warm call, somebody who has done their research and deliberately decided to reach out to you, that's the kind of lead that, you know, people listening to this show want, right? Everybody's in business, like you said, for the long term. If you're looking to build a brand, there's definitely value in marketing your business and not just buying contact info that might have been resold to multiple businesses, right? So,
well, I've heard you talk about this unfair advantage. Let's talk about that. What can you tell me there?
Yeah, so one of the things that we like to do with businesses that we work with is help them to position themselves in their market to become better known by, you know, local homeowners. And so one of the ways to do that is what traditionally was done through print and TV. And a lot of that stuff still exists and you can still do very well with. One of the things we like to sort of bolt on top of PPC are ad campaigns through a platform like Facebook. And so Facebook, very much like PPC, allows us to pay a publisher like Facebook a couple dollars to show content, media, to people, to homeowners in your market. And one of the nice things about that, if we compare it to more traditional forms of advertising, let's take print, for example, Dave. If I wanted to run a campaign and reach, let's just say 10,000 households, homeowners, it would cost me, you know, a couple cents per door to do that run, right? So I would create my campaign, come up with my copy, you know, messaging, my offer, send it out. Now, the data that I receive from that campaign is fairly limited, right? I know if people, you know, decided to call me, if I saw maybe an uptick in traffic to my website because of that campaign, but that's really the extent of it. Of course, if I made some sales from it and I've attracted through my campaign, I can determine that as well. But past that, there's not much more that I'm able to tell, right? I don't really know if somebody took the time to read that piece of print advertisement. I don't know if they held it in their hand. I don't know if they just threw it in the garbage in the recycling bin. I really don't have that level of insight. And the nice thing about digital is that if, for example, we decide to run an ad campaign via Facebook, and let's say that's a video that's maybe 15 to 30 seconds long, we have the ability to determine how much of that video people are watching, right? So we don't necessarily know who's watching, mm-hmm. but we can create a pool or what we call an audience of people who have successfully completed that video or have watched 90% or 75% or 50% of that video. And what that does is it allows us to initially, we may market to a certain territory. Well, guess what? Next time we want to continue to show advertisements, we may want to target those ads specifically to people who have shown an initial interest or intent in what we're promoting here. So we're not spending marketing dollars uselessly to just market to everybody, right? We're able to kind of narrow that down. So if we compare it to more traditional forms of advertising, it'd be the equivalent of sending out a print flyer, knowing who actually picked it up and read it and put it on the kitchen counter, on the kitchen table, in the event that they may want to reach out at a later time. So it's an extra kind of layer of insight that we're able to get as marketers, which I absolutely love and I think is extremely valuable. And that's really where retargeting comes in. We have the ability to create audiences of people that we may want to serve ads to on multiple occasions. So examples of that might be people who have been to your website, like we just discussed, people who have watched a video, piece of content that we produced. It could be like we were talking about initially in our second session, capitalizing on PPC leads. We talk about when a lead's not ready to convert. Well, like you said, Dave, if we've collected that email address, that can be another audience, right? So we can, if we've got email addresses from existing customers or, you know, prospects, we can upload those to a platform like Facebook, and then, you know, we can match them up to specific Facebook accounts and see if there are people that we can serve more ads to. So it's all anonymous, but, you know, it gives us the ability to reach a more targeted sort of group of people. So that's an unfair advantage, if you ask me.
Well, Mark, I love it. That is some great stuff. This is obviously a little more complicated than I thought, and you really know what you're talking about. So you covered some great information today. And next week in week four, our last class, what are you going to cover there?
Yeah, I think beyond leads is something that's really important. So we've touched on, you know, PPC basics, the idea of capitalizing on those leads with systems and processes, and now just the idea of comparing different lead sources. The right question to ask is, what is it going to cost us to acquire a customer through these efforts? And then next week, the idea of growing bigger, faster, it's not necessarily always a matter of generating more leads. And I think that's what a lot of people think when they want to grow. It's okay, how do we scale our lead volume? But there are other things that can be done to expedite that whole process and to get you to where you want to be revenue wise a lot quicker.
All right. Well, a little of that Canadian coming out. Well, let's jump into part four of our short course of how to get more qualified leads using PPC. Well, let's start off by, as we've talked about in each of the prior episodes, let's explain what is it that we're doing here, who it's for, and most importantly, what's in it for our roofing contractors? Why should they care about PPC?
Yeah, I think another way to kind of identify what we're doing here, Dave, is would be to call it adding predictability to your business through pay-per-click. You know, everybody wants to grow their business. One of the fastest ways to do that is with paid advertising, because it's really like a light switch, or more like a faucet, actually, right? You open the faucet, you get water. You want more water, you open the faucet even wider. You want less, you close it off, kind of thing. So that's my little analogy there for you. But ultimately, you know, the idea is to leverage pay-per-click to get more traffic so that you can generate your own leads. And I say your own because that's what we're after here. We want more control over our marketing. So like you say, session one, we touched on, you know, the basics, the common pitfalls, how to identify what kind of budget you need and whether or not this is all going to make sense. Second episode, Dave, we touched on capitalizing on leads, because there's a lot that you contractors need to be thinking of if you're going to be putting money into marketing to generate your own leads. And then last week, we touched on comparing lead sources. So everybody is curious as to where's the best place to go and get leads, and is it to buy homeowner data? Is it to try to generate your leads? So I hope we made that clear. Spoiler alert, if you didn't listen to it, generating your own leads is the way to go.
I certainly voiced my opinion on that.
Yeah, and we touched on some of the advantages that come with, you know, if you're doing paid advertising, you can go after leads directly through platforms like Google. But then if you want to get more aggressive and really bring a lot more visibility and awareness to your company, playing the long game and investing more money around branding and leveraging platforms like Facebook being an ideal way to do that. Well, today it's all about beyond leads. And I think everybody can agree that referrals is what we're all after. I cannot sit here and tell you that referrals are not the best type of leads you can get. If somebody comes to you and they say, hey, you've been, you know, highly recommended. My neighbor dealt with you guys and just, you know, couldn't stop ranting and raving about you at dinner the other night. I'd like to have you guys complete some work on my home. That's more than likely a done deal, unless you royally mess it up. Am I right, Dave?
You couldn't be more right on that.
Well, there you go. So, you know, the idea is to make that a reality. So we're putting marketing dollars on the front end to help generate leads. We've got systems and processes in place so that our team can handle this inbound lead flow. And now it's a matter of putting more systems in place to capitalize even further on those existing customers. And in this episode, I'm going to give a shout out to two people that I think deserve it. Number one, a gentleman by the name of Rick Harshaw, who is the founder of a company called Level 10. And he recently wrote a book called Unlocking Unlimited Lead Flow. And it's a great book. We offer some of the same services, but Rick has, you know, in his book talks about things that all of the successful businesses do. And he's been in this business since, you know, the mid 90s, specific to home improvement. And he's identified a couple of things that are really, really important. And I'll just go through a couple of these. So Dave, I'm doing what's called R&D here, and R&D is a term that I've once heard from Josh Kelly from Review Kangaroo, who I think's also been on your show.
Sure, yes.
And he says, you know, R&D stands for rip off and duplicate. So I hope Rick doesn't mind. I'm going to hit him up soon and let him know to listen to this session, because we're basically tipping our hat to him. He says the companies that do, you know, the best job in the home improvement space, really, they've got the best products and services, right? That goes without saying. You've got to be committed to making sure that your offering is amazing. If you've got a shitty offering, you're not going to last very long, right? Yeah. They charge the highest prices in the market. So the big companies that are doing well are not worried about, oh, the guy down the street's offering the same services and he's charging less than me. Nope. They are charging enough money such that they can put all these other systems in place and hire great people, right? They budget and spend the most on marketing. They never cut corners on anything. And then, of course, this all allows them to be able to afford and deal with inevitable problems. So I love those 5 points, extremely important. So basically, we're underlining the fact that, hey, you don't need to be competing on price. And, you know, you've really got to be committed to delivering an outstanding, you know, quality service. And that's going to allow you to invest more marketing dollars to get your name, your brand out there. So, you know, that's some things that go without saying. And so, Dave, somebody else that I want to kind of bring up here in this session is a friend of mine, Tim Mush, who is the guy who started Market Sharp CRM. And I know he's been on your show before, and he talks about the compounding effects of micro gains. And you're familiar with Tim, right?
Oh, yeah. Tim was on our show, and we talked about the 6 keys to getting more leads and sales. Tim's got a great program there, Market Sharp CRM. I agree. Let's give him a shout out.
Right. So one of the things that Tim underlines is that when you think of sales, what does everyone think about? They think about generating a lead and then making a sale, right? So taking that lead and turning them into a customer. But if you really stop and think about it, there are actually a lot more sales that are happening here, right? So ultimately, to generate an inquiry, that's a sale. You're convincing somebody to reach out and get in contact with you. That's where we really help. After that, getting an appointment. That's another sale. So how you handle those inbound form submissions or those inbound phone calls, you've got to make the sale to convince these people to set an appointment with you, right? Then you've got to make a sale in order to go and get a demo, right? So when you're giving the demo, Guess what? There's another sale. You're trying to turn this presentation into a customer. And of course, last but not least, the idea of turning a customer into a lifetime, you know, loyal customer, potentially repeat business, or somebody who's going to refer more business to you. Right. So the idea here that Tim presents is that if you can improve your ability to convert each of these sales individually by just 10%, right? So let's say your ability to turn inquiries to appointments is 70%. We'll try to strive to get that up to 80%, right? And then of the appointments that you've got, if you're able to demo a greater percentage of those, again, just an increase by 10%, and then an increase on the sale, 10%, and lifetime customers, if you do that collectively, they found that you can technically increase your revenues by up to 60, I think it's 62 or 66%, something like that. So it can have a massive impact on your business. And again, it all starts with generating that initial lead, that initial inquiry, and that's where companies like ours can help. But ultimately, there's a whole slew of things that come thereafter that are ever so important that you cannot drop the ball on. And so what I urge people to do here is think of all of these things before you start dumping a boatload of money into marketing. Because if you've got a boat that's full of holes, guess what? Your ship is sinking, my friend. There you have it. That is what we wanted to cover.
I couldn't agree more. And it's more than the lead. This is where so many contractors think it's all about leads. If I only had more leads, my business would be great. But you're so right. It's just one step in the process, but you've got to have that lead to get going, because nothing happens until somebody sells something. And to do that, you've got to have a good, consistent, predictable flow of leads coming in. And I like what you talked about throughout this series, is having the control and a predictability about bringing in your leads and controlling the amount of business that you're doing. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely, Dave. Absolutely. I think, you know, the idea of generating your own leads, there's nothing better than that. You have control. You can scale things up if you're seeing results. Of course, there's economies of scale that come into play. So the more you're investing in marketing, you're acquiring more data, you're able to make decisions faster. So that's important. But again, we want to make sure the back end's there. And if you get to the point where, like we just discussed on today's show, if you're checking all these boxes and this stuff is all in place and you're at a point where you've got capacity to take on more business, then by all means, put more money into the front end, generate more leads, and you know, skyrocket that business.
Well, this has been a great series, Mark. I really appreciate you doing. I know that I've learned a ton. And you've done a great job of laying this out. If this is something that contractors want to try to take on their own, you certainly laid out a step-by-step process for them to do that. But if they've got questions, or they want to get more information, or they want to get you involved with handling this program for them, how do they get more information?
Absolutely, Dave. And I appreciate doing this. Again, this is fun. We love marketing. So, you know, the opportunity to get on these on the show with you and record these episodes, I mean, this is great. And we always get great feedback from your loyal listeners. So that's great. In terms of getting in touch with us, head over to webrunnermedia.com/roofershow. Our phone number is there. You can book a demo if you want to learn more. And we'll always be happy to talk marketing with you guys.
Mark, I really appreciate it. As I say, it's been a great series, and I look forward to doing some more.
Thank you, Dave.
All right. Well, I hope you enjoyed the course, got value from that. And be sure to check out my podcast at The Roofer Show. And it's just not for roofers. It's for all contractors. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes, or you can check it out at theroofershow.com. And thanks for coming by and listening.